This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey folks, it's Jake Miller from The Drive, and Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped's Performance Package, the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 20DRIVE. That's 20DRIVE at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, that's about 8 million balls.
It's time for The Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, back here on The Drive, hour number 2 underway. The Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by National. All right, here once again is Jake Miller.
Thank you, Russell. Up first, Tennessee has hired a track and field coach, Dwayne Ross from North Carolina A&T. VFL Justin Gatlin weighed in on the situation, said, "I've had the unique opportunity to watch and experience the athletic and coaching growth of Dwayne Ross. I've had the honor of being an Olympic teammate and training partner with Dwayne. I truly believe that to be great at something, you need to be able to experience it firsthand, and that is a big reason why Coach Ross has been a truly successful athlete and coach. Whatever he touches, he will be successful."
Wow. Ringing endorsement from Justin Gatlin there for Dwayne Ross. They were on the 04 USA track and field Olympic team that competed in Athens, Greece. He was in the 110-meter hurdles at that year's summer games. So did it at Clemson, where he's a member of their Athletic Hall of Fame and has made a name for himself as a track coach at North Carolina A&T. And he's getting a huge promotion and I would imagine salary increase and better facilities and everything that comes with being the head coach of the track and field program here at an SEC school. So we'll see if he can get things going over there at Tom Black Track.
Hopefully so. And number 2, Joe Wilfried Tsonga has retired from the game of tennis after his loss at the French Open. 37-year-old reached the 2008 Australian Open final and has 18 career titles. This guy kind of mimicked my game off of until I realized I wasn't 6'6" like he was.
Bear, your thoughts on Jake Miller putting the retirement of Joe Wilfried Tsonga into the top 4 at 4 just so he could reference his own non-illustrious tennis career.
The top 4, but okay.
Unless it's Wimbledon or breaking news about Serena, it's not in the top 4.
It's at Roland Garros, it's the French Open.
No.
Is
Russ.
Wilfried Tsonga is he American?
No, he's from South Africa.
What ranked is he?
He was at one point number 8 in the world.
So,
if there was no Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, or Roger Federer, he'd probably have a few more titles.
Whoo, looking forward to 5 o'clock hour.
I mean, you're stretching right now, Miller. Don't strain yourself. You're stretching.
I'm not stretching. I'm just relaxing.
Happy retirement, Joe Wilfried Tsonga.
And number 3, Tony Vitello said the tentative starting pitching plan for Hoover is to start Blade Tidwell tomorrow and Chase Dolander on Thursday, then if necessary, Chase Burns on Friday and Drew Beam on Saturday, and so on. So we kind of got a lineup set.
So potentially Tidwell could pitch tomorrow and then Sunday on 3 days rest?
Potentially.
Or you could start Sechrist or maybe Ben Joyce, Camden Sewell, something like that in a championship matchup, because you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't roll Dolander, Beam, or Burns out there on less than 3 days rest again on Sunday, would you?
No.
I don't know. Maybe you would. Maybe it's all hands on deck. Maybe they still do that. I don't know. Different coaches handle that. They all say, oh, no, I wouldn't do that to one of my guys. But we see it happen all the time every year in college baseball. I mean, Arkansas did it with Copps last year. They just pitched him a whole lot towards the end of the season. We'll see if Vitello does that as well. I suppose only time will tell.
And number four, Louisville has hired Milt Wagner, former Cardinal star and the grandfather of the number one recruit in the country, as the program's director of player development and alumni relations. The reason this is significant, DJ Wagner, who is his grandson, is the subject of an intense recruiting battle between Louisville and Kentucky and Coach Calipari, Coach DJ's father, at Memphis.
DeJuan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the original, I'll hire your high school coach to get the player scenarios.
That's got to have Calipari just on fire.
Well, the kid, he's going to be like, well, do I side with dad? Do I side with grandpa? What am I doing here?
I mean, you're going to Louisville, right?
You're going where your grandfather is.
Yeah, because he's going to make sure you're taken care of.
Well, yeah, and it's not like Kenny Payne is hiring that guy and then he doesn't get the player. I mean, you wouldn't – that's not going to fly, right?
No, he'd be fired the next day.
I kind of admire it. We've done it here over the years. Everybody's done stuff like that. Wonder if that's why TJ was so hot earlier.
Who did we hire as a coach to get a player?
Well, Jeremy Pruitt was
– no.
Was he not going to hire Rush to get JJ?
I guess Allen Houston would probably be the number one example of that.
Yeah.
How'd that do in the long run, though?
But Wade Houston was an assistant at Louisville under Denny Crum. And, you know, when they were – he did have a good recruiting reputation. I mean, it didn't work out. But it's not like we just hired some dude off the street.
No, he just was – what do they call it? The something principal. He got one step above
his competency.
Yeah. It's got Peter principal. I mean, it's the thing.
I call it the Peterson principle, as in Buzz Peterson. But
that's another good example of it. Yeah.
Well, we'll see if it works out for him. Thank you, Jake. That is the Top 4 at 4 brought to you by National RX, 11134 Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's in Farragut, with a drive-through to make it fast and easy for you. Ask about how you could save big on their generics program. Go out there and get the generic Claritin this time of year to make life livable outside anyway. I did go for a walk early this morning, or like right after the rain. It just that was nice. Be outside without just constantly having your nose running and stuff like that. Allergy season has been really good today. Really good this year. Excuse me. National RX makes it gooder. Jerry Green, go check him out. 11134 Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's in Farragut. All right.
Hey, real quick, UT did hire, I'd forgotten about this, Vincent Yarbrough's high school coach and Tony Harris's uncle.
Really?
Well, good.
I remember that. I remember we took Dale Baker. We gave a scholarship to Yarbrough's brother.
I always liked Dale.
I mean, yeah, he was okay, but I mean, we weren't recruiting Vincent. Him unless if his brother wasn't Vincent Yarbrough. My favorite was we took Bo Hardigree, who actually is like he's an assistant coach in the NFL somewhere now.
Yeah, who did we take? Which package was he part of?
Daniel Brooks.
Okay.
Who was a five-star linebacker who didn't live up to the billing, passed away tragically a couple of years ago, I believe, in a car accident.
Yeah. There was one recently, the quarterback. Oh, what's his name?
Nash Nance to get Dayrick Rogers.
Yeah, that one. No, I was thinking like more recent than that. The kid that just transferred out. Because we thought we were going to get the guys that ended up going to Georgia.
Quarterback here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh. We've already forgotten.
Talking about Harrison Bailey?
Yeah. Good kid couldn't – like Jake Miller could throw it farther than Harrison Bailey.
I definitely could. There's no doubt about it.
I wouldn't go that far.
Come on. Tell him come on do something.
Joe Wilfried Tsonga could throw it farther than Harrison Bailey. Bo Hardegrees, your quarterback's coach with the Las Vegas Raiders right now.
Interesting.
About that.
Whatever tennis player you guys keep talking about, the first time I heard that guy's name was about 10 minutes ago.
Bo Hardegrees was a really good tennis player at Jackson Mary Central.
Okay.
Just thought I'd drop that in on you, by the way. A lot of tennis talk.
Yeah.
This hour on The Drive. Let's go to the phones and talk to Martin. Good afternoon, Martin. You're on The Drive.
Yes, Russell.
Martin.
Who do you think will be our next commitment in basketball recruiting?
It's a good question. I know they'd like it to be Tyrese Hunter, but I don't know if they're going to get him.
Yes.
If they don't get Tyrese Hunter, I don't know where they go at that point.
You know, we're still recruiting running backs in the transfer portal.
Yes. The young man's name, I believe it's Jefferson from Sam Houston State.
Oh, the running back?
Yeah, Ramon Jefferson, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't.
How big is he?
He's pretty big, Mark. He's like 5'10", 210, something like that. And he's one of these dudes, just a bizarre story. Like, he's played at a different school every year since high school. Like, he went to Maine, I think, and played 2 years there. Like, he redshirted and then played as a redshirt freshman. And then he went to a junior college in Texas. Then he went to Sam Houston State. Now he's transferring again. He committed to Colorado last week, but then almost immediately rescinded that commitment. So it is kind of a goofy situation, bizarre recruitment. But Tennessee wants him,
what?
I know.
Jefferson.
What's that, Martin?
Is his name Ramon Jefferson?
Yes, Ramon Jefferson.
Yes. And Russell, I still think we're still on Deshaun Bishop like crazy, because what I'm hearing is offer list is getting better. I don't know who's in all in on him, but I heard his offer list is getting better, and that may be what's taking so much time for him to commit to us.
Well, I know this, man. If I know he's a 3-star, and the offer list hasn't been very good thus far, but, man, I mean, it would be a major drag, right, if he ended up going to Illinois or Mizzou or like, God forbid, Kentucky, somewhere like that, and ended up having a really nice career. That would be a tough one to stomach.
You know, he was Jalen Hurd's the only one that had more yardage than him in one season.
Rushed really?
In the state.
What's your position on the kid at Carnes Bears? Should we be taking him? No questions asked.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's right. We should take him.
I mean, he's a really good football player. I mean, he's...
Hypo likes him.
Tough, hard-nosed.
Well, and here's the thing, guys. With the 25 scholarship rule thing being rescinded this year, you can take a flyer on a guy a little bit more easily now, right?
Well, sure you can.
And if he gets here and he's not up to par, I hate to put it like this, but you run him off.
That's basically...
What class would Jefferson be in? A St. Junior?
That's a good question. Let's see. He had the year at Maine, a JUCO year, which I don't know if that counts. And presumably one of those years was 2020, and then the year at Sam Houston State. So I would say he has 1 or 2 years left.
Yes. All right, I appreciate it, Russell.
Martin, always good to hear from you, my man.
First time in a week.
I know. We've been waiting on you.
Yeah. I appreciate you, buddy.
All right, thanks, man. Hey, Martin.
Bye-bye.
Martin.
Yes.
Your Celtics, man. 2-2. What's going on there? Are they going to beat the Heat?
They got a chance. They play defense.
How about Grant Williams? Did you think he would be this good?
I didn't think he would be able to hit the three like he has been.
Oh, man.
He
can guard every position on the floor just about, can rebound, can shoot it. I mean, he's going to – he might not have a max contract, but he's going to get paid next year.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, he is. They put out a video today. He's worked at it. He won't leave the gym until he's hit 45 of 53. There was an article that somebody wrote on him with video showing him just rack after rack after rack after rack.
Yes. I appreciate you, Russell.
Good to hear from you, Martin. Thanks, man. Let's get Richard in here next. Richard, you're on the drive. Fan Run Radio.
Afternoon. Another guy we got, his coach was goes back a ways, Burrowcamp and Tom Deaton.
We took a guy from Bearden to get Burrowcamp?
Yeah, Tom Deaton. He was DeVoe's assistant. And I had no idea. Yeah. Well, I can't believe you don't know who Tom Deaton is, but he was here, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, and then took the head coaching job at Tennessee Tech and did pretty well there.
Well, you know, in 1979, Richard, I was just a mere twinkle in my papa's eye.
Well, maybe
a little bit before my time. Remembered.
You got to know your history, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Russ.
Anyway, question about baseball. I kind of think something a weakness with this team, maybe, they can hit it out of the park, they can hit it off the wall, but they're not as good at hitting timely, just a base hit. They leave a lot of guys on base, and I don't know if they just, that mentality, they're swinging for the fences all the time. But they sure could get better at just going with the pitch and getting it, getting in play for a single.
Speaking of pitch,
go ahead.
If this season ends with a loss, which I'm hoping it doesn't, but the odds say it probably will, I think that loss is going to be one of those frustrating games that you just described, Richard, where we've got guys on and we just can't get them home, and we're sitting there after the ball game saying, "Wait, we left 12 guys on base today. Like, how did that happen?" And it's happened a couple of times this year, but that's just the way the game's played now. There's not a lot of bunting and moving guys around and stuff like that. I mean, it's hit the ball as hard as you can and hope it goes out of the ballpark.
A friend of mine said that Omaha is a little bigger place. We're not going to be able to hit it out of there so easily.
Well, that was the case last year.
Huh?
I mean, you guys remember the Texas and Virginia games last year in Omaha? How many balls we hit to the warning track?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're playing in a minor league ballpark. You're playing where the Omaha Storm Chasers play. But you go back to that series we had in Texas at the beginning of the year, and Jordan Beck hit one up to the arches at Minute Maid Park.
It's not that much bigger than Lindsey. The thing that makes Lindsey Nelson such a hitter's park is the way the wind blows. It's probably got something to do with the river, I would imagine.
Well it's shorter. Is Jordan Beck in a slump?
A little bit. I don't know if I call it a slump. He just,
been striking out a lot.
Yeah, he's been chasing it a little bit.
Let's call it what it is. Yeah, he's in a slump. He's like 2 for his last 25.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what Coach Vitale had to say about the, being able to hit the timely singles and all. So y'all can ask him about it. It'd be interesting.
We will certainly pose that question next time we get him on, Richard. Anything else, my man?
I don't think you want to say what's wrong with your team, but.
Hey, Coach, you're the SEC Coach of the Year. Your team's number one, best season in school history. What the hell's going on with you guys? What's wrong, man?
Yeah. Okay, guys, appreciate it.
Thank you, Richard. Coach, you have the SEC Pitcher of the Year, maybe the best pitching staff in the history of college baseball. What's going wrong? Why are you guys struggling all of a sudden?
I mean, we're basically, you know, what we're left complaining with is that our right fielder, who's slated to go in the top half of the first round of the MLB draft, is in a little bit of a shooting – or not shooting, but a hitting slump.
He dropped down to 21 this week.
He needs to get his bat hot again. I think he will, though. I got faith in
him. I mean, I'm trying not to complain, really. Like, to me, I don't want to say it's all gravy from here on out, but it kind of is all gravy, man. This has been a great team, and whether they make it to Omaha or not, I think we'll look back on this as a really fun year with a fun team that connected with its fan base.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Is that stupid to say? Do we have to make it to Omaha for this thing to be a success?
No, and I think 20 years, no matter how it ends, 20 years from now, God willing, if we're all still around, you know, we'll look back fondly on this bunch. So,
I mean, some people say we have to win it all for the season to be a success, or we have to make the championship series at the very least. Like, to me, if you make it to Omaha, that is an incredible season.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got friends that say if we don't go to the World Series, it's a failure.
But we're also not USC and have, I think, what they've got, what, 12 World Series titles?
I mean, I don't turn my nose up at a trip to the College World Series.
No.
That's just me. Keep things rolling here. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
Boys, all right, W.
Hey, Philly.
How you and the boys doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I guess we'll have to get back to Russ pretending again. You know what?
Oh, boy, here we go. What you got, Phil?
7.5 wins, right?
Hit me with your best shot, Phil. Come on, I'm ready for it.
Your best shot? What, 8-4?
Oh, you can do better than that. 8-4, come on.
Well, I think that they ought to go 8-4 getting out of the bed.
I mean, those guys in Vegas, those buildings keep popping up for a reason, man. They ain't going broke. I mean, 7.5. I mean, I said I would pound the over on that. But, I mean, to go 9-3, then you start pushing it. You go 9-3, I mean, you're talking about beating, you know, winning all the close games, right? Assuming that Georgia and Alabama are just untouchable, you're winning all the close games. You're beating Florida and or LSU. I mean, that's pretty lofty expectations for a program that hasn't won 9 regular season games in 15 years.
Yeah, and you got to go to South Carolina, and then you got to play Kentucky, who put up 600 yards against us last year. So, won't be an easy road. And like Bear said in the first hour, the defense, that's my question mark. If we just had an average defense, we could win 9 games.
Yeah. I mean, does the offense get better? You know, we talk about the defense improving. Does the offense improve as well? Because if it does, I mean, you know, you score one more touchdown in those games. You beat Ole Miss last year. You beat Purdue last year. I guess that's probably it, but you can still, I mean, hey, if you're just rolling out there and you're outscoring 9 of your 12 regular season opponents, that's fine with me. I mean, it's going to be, I don't care how you do it. Just get W. I mean, I would, yes, I would prefer we have a, you know, the 98 defense out there and all that stuff. My guess is we don't have that kind of talent on that side of the ball right now, but if you got to do it the other way and just go out there and put up half a hundred every game, I mean, people have been winning that way too. Look at Mike Gundy.
Upright, but last year, injuries to the running backs and the wide receivers, and even the Mays kid getting hurt, and both the Mays getting hurt, that offense sputtered at times when we had those injuries.
A little bit.
Even though we scored some points.
A little bit. And it took a while to get going, too, yeah. Is the thing. Like, it took a while to get going. Like, Tennessee, the first couple of games just sort of feeling itself out. The first 3 weeks of the season or so were experimental, almost. But once they figured it out, I mean, it was pretty consistent. And you have to go back. I mean, it's not like – I mean, once Hooker was named the starting quarterback, did they score under 30 in any game besides Georgia?
No.
They didn't score 30 against Ole Miss, did they?
Yeah, they might. It was like 28-29 was the score there, something like that. So, but I mean, like you said, I mean, that was Cade Mays gets hurt on the first series of the game. Ole Miss deploys the stop, drop, and roll technique.
Yeah.
You know, to the extreme, more so than anybody, probably in the history of American tackle football. If they don't do that, if Cade Mays is healthy and Ole Miss plays a somewhat, I would say, honorable football game, I mean, we'd probably put up 40 on them, win that game, right?
Yeah, that's probably right. You need to tell Martin that Tennessee will get another basketball commitment this week. Cade Phillips, the number one prospect in Alabama, will commit to Tennessee Thursday.
Wow. How
about that? And he's what? And he's Brody Croyle's son?
Yeah. Alabama Legacy is going to play for the Collector.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's like Alabama Legacy out the wazoo, but we're, yeah.
Top 60 player, so it can't be too bad. And he's a post player, so that's even better.
Why is he not going to Alabama?
I don't think he fits Alabama's system down there.
Hmm.
You know, they don't go inside. All they do is shoot threes. Even the big guys just shoot threes. That's their system. I'm happy Danny White got him a track, Coach. That sounds very promising. Now let's get some – sprinters that can play football on top of that. And I mean, the guy was at Clemson, he's and it got Gatlin's approval. That's got my approval too. See you.
Thank you, Phil. It wasn't so bad, was it?
Yeah, we're
it,
getting
it
ready
felt
start
like he might
cutting.
Be on a heater right there at the beginning, but he kind of pulled himself up out of the dumps, if only for a few moments.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm genuinely concerned about the guy. I mean, can't go through life being this pessimistic about everything. I mean, I guess you can.
I like it better when he's screaming. Because at least when he's screaming, it's funny.
I mean, it's just, you know, when he gets like in one of these moods, he was heading for the vortex of hopelessness and despair, Russell.
Well, I feel like I'm pretty good at reading people, and I could tell – like, it crossed my – like, when he first came on, I almost did the Eeyore thing. Okay, Phil, go ahead. Tell us why we suck. But I thought – I was like, you know what? I do that. He probably will scream and yell at me, and he might cuss, and it could be bad. So I went with a softer, gentler approach. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting softer and gentler. Maybe I should have just – went right for the jugular and see how irritated I could get him.
I thought you were going to bring up that we're the most successful athletic department in the conference.
Hang the damn banner.
Hang
banner
it.
Dan. Highest winning percentage in all sports combined in the 2021-2022 academic school calendar year. 67% winning percentage. The next closest is 60%. Are you kidding me? Pretty good. Pretty good. Just saying. Won the SEC baseball regular season championship. Won the SEC basketball tournament championship. We hang any other banners? We win something in tennis?
We made it to the final four.
And then we played in the championship game in the indoor tournament back in the winter.
Hang the damn banner!
Banner Dan.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. The Drive. Welcome back. Right, 10 News, Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online this afternoon, fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app. Live stream powered by Linderman Sports Medicine. Check them out online at lindermansportsmedicine.com. Well, coming up this week, starting today in Murfreesboro, the annual Spring Fling TSSAA Tennessee High School Spring Sport Championships will commence. And there is controversy, Bear, in high school baseball this week.
Oh, boy.
There's some really angry people in the Tri-Cities.
Yep.
Outraged.
Yep. It's an outrage. Science Hill lost to Powell on Friday 4-2, ending their season and sending the Panthers to Murfreesboro. And many in the Tri-Cities area are questioning the legitimacy of the Powell victory because the Panthers used a player on the mound who they say technically should have been ineligible to pitch.
Well, there's no, not technically. The kid should have been ineligible to pitch. There was no technicality about it. The rule's a rule, and
so what is the rule? It's 106 pitches?
If you pitch more than 105 pitches and you're in high school in Tennessee.
And you must have 4 days of rest.
Yeah. And that would have been Saturday, not Friday.
So the young man in question, Charlie Smith, pitched for Powell on Monday and threw 110 pitches in their game against Bearden, I believe.
Yeah, and beat him 1-0. A hard
Powell wins the game. So according to TSSAA rules, if he threw 110 pitches, and it gets interesting because apparently there's a discrepancy. As for, you know, Powell says he threw 105. There's video evidence to the contrary, perhaps. I haven't seen it. All I'm going by is an article from, this is Douglas Fritz in the Johnson City Press, and he is ripping Powell and their head coach, Josh Warner, this weekend in the Johnson City Press. So the kid pitches Monday. According to the rules, he should have had to rest Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. He should not have been able to pitch until Saturday. They play Science Hill on Friday in Johnson City. There's no gray area with the rule. Throw 106 pitches or more in a game, and the student athlete has to rest for 4 days. It's to keep guys from, you know, going R.A. Dickey, throwing 161 pitches and evaporating ligaments in your elbow. Whatever happened there, right?
You can't have a high school kid. You can't put him in a position where he could be throwing close to 200 pitches in 5 days.
How is Powell still playing, you ask? Well, the loophole basically is, according to the TSSAA, there are two signatures required on the official scorecard from the game, and both the Powell coach and Bearden coach Dave Pritchard both signed their names stating that Smith, the pitcher, threw only 105 pitches in the Monday game.
Yeah.
So Powell's saying he only threw 105 pitches, and the Bearden coach signed the score sheet.
Right.
So he goes and pitches against Sides Hill, and they win the game 4-2 and go to the state championships this week in Murfreesboro.
Well, I'm hearing from some folks here in town, not going to say which part of town, you could probably take an educated guess, are saying that Science Hill are crybabies, the biggest ones in the state.
They really are, though.
The TSSAA declared the game and pitcher legal. That's the bottom line. Criticism comes from Science Hill in Bearden, who Powell eliminated.
Well, according to the article in the Johnson City Press, there is, you know, everything's on video in 2022, right? We got everything on tape. And they've gone back and determined that he actually threw 110 pitches and that the Game Changer app that is used by all high schools to record pitches did not record several of the pitches over the course of the game. And so they were able to use this kid. I guess he's their ace. I don't know. I'm obviously not a high school baseball expert here, but people are upset about this. And, hey, man, if that's the way it went down, I mean, Bear, this isn't NOM. There are rules, right?
The TSSAA. They're like a miniature NCAA. They're very selective about how they enforce this stuff.
Well, the guy from the TSSAA apparently called Gene Meniz. He's the TSSAA assistant executive director. Said he got a form sent to him, signed by both coaches, indicating the number of pitches the young man threw. The consensus was, when we put this rule in effect, and it is in effect across the nation, we would accept the pitch count if both coaches verified it. But when asked to why the TSSAA would not respond to Bearden's attempts to rectify the situation, Meniz said, quote, "That hasn't happened. The only thing I can tell you is I got a call Friday from the athletics director, Donald Balcom, with the coach Pritchard in the room. I said, if there is a discrepancy in the number of pitches, I need you to indicate that, or we can go with what the coaches have signed. I was told Friday to go with what the coaches have signed."
Hmm.
It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one, Bear.
Not really. I mean, I can't believe my phone is exploding right now. People are really hot about this stuff.
I don't care what your crazy high school sports fan friends say. I want to know what you think. I want to know what is the right thing to do here. This is high school sports. We have a rule. If it was violated, do you have a problem with Powell pitching the kid twice?
Do I personally?
Yes.
No.
Why would you?
So you're fine with just ignoring the rule?
I mean, if it was my kid, it wouldn't have happened.
Here's the deal, man. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
With it personally.
How much
more personal is it than if it's your kid?
Well, yeah, my kid's not going to throw 110 pitches and then go on short rest. I mean, not if he's that good. If it's going to affect that's what my whole argument was with you on the no hitter with Dolander. So,
well, I know,
but I don't know what you do about it now. And this has happened now, something kind of like this, you know, where it's obvious that another ruling should have been made.
Well, think about if your kid's on that Science Hill team. I mean, if we want to do this, look, put the shoe on the other foot. Your kid's on that Science Hill team. He's grinded. You guys have competed by the rules. And here's Powell, who, no offense to my friends in Powell, I have many friends in, like, I don't have a dog in the hunt. But come on, Bear. We all know what Powell's reputation is, not just in baseball, but in high school athletics in general in East Tennessee right now, right?
That's why my kids are going there.
They see the world in different shades of gray. I will admit and agree with you.
And if my kid played on that team, and, I mean, let's be honest, it sounds like they knew what they were doing. They doctored the evidence, and they broke the rule. Knowing it, like, they didn't forget to count pitches, okay? This is high school baseball. They knew what they were doing. They were trying to win a close 1-0 game at Bearden. They're not going to pull their pitcher. They won the game. They doctored the evidence specifically so he could pitch again Friday in a game they had to win to make the state tournament. Period, right? They cheated.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm – the simplest way to put it is I enjoy stuff like this, the chaos of it, and the fact that depending on who you talk – I mean it's pure East Tennessee.
Okay, well, I do too. But here's my thing. If you are of the side that you're saying you wouldn't let your kid do this and you wanted Dolander pulled out and you want to protect these young men and the integrity of the game, then I think the consistent thing to do would say, this is a rule we need to enforce. This is important. And thus, Powell should forfeit the game and Science Hill should go to Murfreesboro. I think that's the consistent position if that's the way you really feel.
Oof, that's rough. Now, why was he allowed to pitch? Why did this not come up before the game?
Well, it did. And the TSSAA, in a very NCAA-ish move, kind of deferred and said, well, you know, you guys signed the slip of paper, and they kind of went out on a technicality.
I mean, where's Bernard Childress in all this?
I guess he's deferring to his deputy.
Just pulling his best Mark Emmert? I don't know. But as somebody that kind of over the years has followed the TSSAA in high school, you know, in prep sports, this isn't like a really big surprise to me. Like, that may be part of what my reaction is. Like, I mean, this doesn't even come close to being in the top five of TSSAA screw jobs I've seen in my life.
Bearden Athletic Director Don Balcom said the TSSAA and Manese comments are a half truth. Quote, "We lost the game to Powell fair and square," Balcom says, "so we didn't have a pony in the race. We told Gene Manese, here's the film. It shows the kid threw 110 pitches. We're glad to share it." He said, quote, "I'm not going to watch that film." Balcom said Manese wanted him to contact Powell Athletic Director Chad Smith and basically try to convince Smith to do the right thing.
Why would he do
Balcom
that?
Balcom says, quote, "You know as well as I do, it would have been a worthless conversation. I'm trying to finish out the school year, do teacher evaluations, and I don't have time for that. It's not my place to do that. We offered him the film, and he won't look at it. Gene was trying to make me do work he should have been doing."
Hmm. I'm now being told that Bearden are crybabies as well.
When asked if he believes the TSSAA should look at the video, Balcom said, quote, "Film does not lie. That's how I will answer that." Why will this guy not watch the video, Bear?
You want me to answer that honestly?
No, I want you to lie to me. Yes!
Because he knows what it's going to show. I know that kid pitched 110 pitches.
How cowardly
is that pitch count thing doesn't malfunction.
Assuming this is true, how cowardly is it, first of all, for the guy not to refuse to watch the film, which presumably is his job? Okay, that's pretty weak sauce to begin with. But second of all, to try to tell the Bearden AD that he needs to call the Powell AD and convince him to forfeit or to not pitch the kid?
Yeah, I mean, that should be a phone call from either that guy, Bernard. I would have thought, you know, once it got to be a big deal, that to me is, where's Bernard Childress? He picks up that telephone. He calls Powell High School. He tells the principal and the athletic director that young man will not pitch or it will be a forfeit.
I think it's extremely – I think it's bad sportsmanship by Powell. And I'm sure – you know, there folks are listening to this and I'm a wuss and I don't have all the facts and there's, you know, some loophole that they can say that protects them and their interests of winning a championship. Right. But at the end of the day, I think there are a lot of schools that would push those boundaries and try to do what it takes to win. And I understand competitors do stuff like that, particularly in that sport. That's why we have the TSSAA. That's why we have the NCAA. That's why we have umpires. That's why we have a rule book, right? And if the TSSAA won't enforce their own rules, they refuse to look at the film, then that's a problem. That's a problem. Well, then somebody needs to be held to account for that, because there's a bunch of kids on Science Hill should be in Murfreesboro this week. They got robbed of an opportunity of a lifetime.
I won't go that far. I will say that they should have not had to have faced that kid, who obviously is Pal's ace, right? We can all agree on that.
There's nothing you could do about that. They did have to face that kid. I mean, I agree with you. Ifs and buts. But the bottom line is they did have to face that kid, and we're just going to sweep it under the rug, pretend it didn't happen?
I think that's what the plan is. If he's that good, I mean, my next question is, are we looking at him in Tennessee?
No, serious conversation. Are we looking at the kid? If he can go out and throw 110 pitches one game and then come out the next game, good.
Hey, God bless him, man. I hope he has a great career. I hope they win. I hope it's worth it. I hope they can look themselves in the mirror in the morning.
Now, I don't blame the kid at all.
No. He wants to win.
Yeah.
Win. For the same reason, like, Dolander would have thrown 110 pitches the other night in a 22-0 game if you'd let him.
Yeah, but you can't, because somebody has to be the adult and look at the big picture.
I understand. Yes, somebody has to be the adult.
Yeah.
Particularly in high school baseball, and the adults are nowhere to be found here.
Well, then the hate shouldn't be on Powell High School. It should be on the TSSAA for not enforcing the rule.
It's not, Jake. I mean, nobody's hating on Powell. Nobody's hating on Powell.
People are very polarizing. No, I don't feel like we are. I mean, Powell's got like you said, not throwing shade, but if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's usually a duck.
All I'm saying is I can't wait to send my kids there.
Well-earned reputation.
Yeah. Going back generations. I mean, we do a whole hour on that stuff. But the sick part of me loves all this, you know.
The Powellites, the Powellonians, I don't know what you call them. They are a fierce people, a fierce, warlike people.
What are you saying about me, Russell?
You're from the holler, Jake. No, don't try and carpet bag your way into the Powell community. Look, Miller,
I've lived there for 5 years.
He's lived out there. He's lived on the outskirts of Powell for about 6 months, and all of a sudden he's acting like he's the damn mayor or
something. 6 months? Dude, I've lived there for 5 years.
I'm with Russ on this one, man.
What?
You're not a Palinista.
I've been there for 5 years.
No. You may have, but you aren't from Pal.
You're a Campbell County Cougar through and through, Jake. Don't run from it.
My kids will never go to that school.
That's a whole other topic. But, yeah, I don't know. But a big part of me, Russ, just enjoys the, you know how you get when the private schools here in Knoxville get all – fired up at each other. It's fun to watch from the sidelines. So,
well,
it's dirty, but again, like, I've seen videotape evidence of where one basketball team beat another basketball team. Like, the kid's still dribbling and the buzzer's going off, and he shoots and they counted it. And this stuff happens every year.
Let me ask you this, Bear, before I go. We've got a Little League tournament game to get to. I've got rules to fix of my own here. Bats to doctor. Things to confiscate. Items to plant. Things like that. 7-year-old baseball, you know, it's important stuff. I've been meaning to ask you this since Thursday last week, and I've had it on my notes, and we always run out of time. Bear?
Yes.
How worried are you, Bear, on a scale of 1 to 10? And we all know you're you were the one sounding the alarm on the coronavirus.
I swear to God, I think we were the first anybody that broadcast about the coronavirus in the United States.
How worried are you about monkeypox?
I put it about a 1, maybe a 2.
Wow. You're not concerned?
No, because I don't go and have copious amounts of illicit sex at raves. That's where all this, it all came out of that. There were 2 raves over in Europe. You ever been to a rave festival, buddy?
No, but.
I have.
We're at the beginning of this thing, okay? That's not necessarily 100% true. And I know you're Dr. Bear and you don't like to give out false medical information, but this is monkeypox. I mean, there's the literature I've read is that it is a highly communicable disease, not just a STD.
No, but they think that you have to have it's not like COVID or the flu. It's not like a coronavirus.
Well, I will just say this. We're running out of time here. As somebody who's had COVID twice, right. And don't get me wrong, it sucked, but just looking at the monkeypox, I'd rather, if you're asking me between COVID and monkeypox, I got to choose one. Give me COVID all day long.
No. Because here's the thing about, no. 2 reasons. Number one, monkeypox has been
all over your body, scabbing up, bleeding and leaking like a freak.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Russ. There is a vaccine that works for monkeypox.
There's a vaccine that works for COVID.
No, it's no. The smallpox vaccine. The problem is now is that we eradicated. Yeah, I know. But for whatever reason, the smallpox vaccination protects you from monkeypox.
All right. Well,
I'm not coming in this saying two without just talking out of my rear end, Russ. I mean, you know me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know you. Talking out of your rear end, never. No, that's not your MO. Not at all.
Oh, come on, man.
Hey, okay, I got to run here. I'm just going to leave this here. I hope we don't come to it, but mark the tape, because in 3 months when we're sitting here and we're doing the show and the 4 of us all have hideous boils all over every square inch of our body and we're all miserable, just no, remember.
You guys remember, might.
You're the one who was talking about, as long as you're not having copious amounts of unprotected gay sex at a rave in Europe, you have nothing to worry about.
I'm just saying, the smallpox vaccine inoculates for it, and I won't have any bumps because I'll be long gone to the bear's den if they find out it's passed in the air like COVID.
Guys, on that note,
you've completely taken the show into the ditch, poured gasoline all over it, threw a match on it, and walked off like Lalo from Better Call Saul. I hope you're proud of yourself.
You guys have fun, man. Enjoy hour number 3.
Good luck to little man. Tomorrow. Try not to get in trouble down there at the ballpark.
Bear, Jake, and Marcus have you for the next hour or so. I'll be back tomorrow at 3. Enjoy. The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.